Hi everyone. I'm going to talk to you about how I'll introduce myself. I'm Shantanu Krishna Kumar. I just finished my master's at University of Guelph, Ontario. I'm going to talk to you about how we used hexanal C6 aldehyde compound in order to enhance the shelf life of nectarines. So a little bit of introduction about peaches and nectarines. So they're tree fruit crops mainly grown in the Niagara region in Ontario, and Ontario produces about 80% of Canada's peaches and nectarines. It's about worth about 40 million, so pretty minuscule compared to California, Georgia, all those big peach and nectarine growing places. So we have certain unique challenges in our industry, which certain things are unique and certain things we share, of course, with other growing areas. We have a narrow window of harvest. We also have a lack of labor at critical times. And of course, we have a short shelf life of about 2 to 3 weeks in cold storage before we have to market the produce. And we also have the incidence of chilling injury disorders. So how many of you here have bit into a nectarine that was brown or did not have flavor? It had a leathery taste, like raise of hands. Well, so you're not alone. I have, and so have so many other people. So these are some of the problems that the industry is facing, and because when we keep them in cold storage, they start to develop these disorders. So these are also some of the challenges I'm trying to tackle with my research. So all of these problems are inevitably associated with ripening and senescence, which is a final irreversible stage in the growth of the plant. And although there are so many changes in ripening and senescence, I'm going to focus this presentation on softening of fruits. So why does softening happen? It's mainly due to the membrane degradation by an enzyme called phospholipase D. So this enzyme is a key enzyme in the pathway that results in the degradation of the membranes. Apart from that, of course, we have cell wall degrading enzymes such as cellulase, pectin esterase, polygalactronase, etc., and other factors such as N-glycoprotein group genes, which are involved in dismantling of the cell wall as well. So this is a pictorial representation of the membrane degradation during ripening. So at the top, we have the red, which is represented by the lipid bilayer, and then we have in between green, which is the cellular constituent. So you can see how compact they are at the beginning of ripening, whereas as we move through the late ripening stages, we can see that the membrane is disintegrated, resulting in the leakage of cellular constituents, eventually leading to fruit softening and fruit rot. So what is the biochemical basis behind this membrane degradation? So what happens is PLD, or phospholipase D, which I described, just attaches with the phospholipid during ripening, sometimes due to ethylene signaling and other factors as well, and it forms the phospholipid enzyme intermediate. Now, this intermediate is then hydrolyzed by water to form phosphatidic acid, which is then used by further downstream enzymes to result in membrane degradation. Now, this is where our wonder compound hexanal comes into action. Hexanal is a C6 aldehyde, as I mentioned before. It's ubiquitous in its presence. So when you move through a freshly mowed lawn or when you cut into a cucumber, the smell that you get, that's mostly hexanal. And it's generally regarded as safe. And one more advantage of using hexanal is that it's highly volatile, leaving very little to no residue. So how does hexanal act on inhibiting PLD? Hexanal binds with the phospholipid enzyme intermediate, thus preventing the formation of phosphatidic acid. So there are two things that happen here. We don't have the formation of phosphatidic acid, so there is no substrate for further downstream enzymes to act upon, because the downstream enzymes cannot act directly upon the phospholipid without PLD action. And we also have the non-regeneration of PLD. So because of this, this whole process is delayed, and we have a delay in membrane degradation, so maintenance of firmness of the fruit. Using hexanal, researchers at the University of Guelph, they developed what is known as the enhanced freshness formulation, which consists of hexanal and other ingredients which either protect hexanal in its action or enhance its solubility. And usually we use a 2% EFF solution, as it's called, enhanced freshness formulation. Now this sets the stage for my hypothesis, which is that pre-harvest applications of EFF containing hexanal will enhance shelf life and are maintain and improve different quality attributes of Fantasia nectarines by down-regulating the expression of PLD and other ripening-related genes. So for the materials and methods, we had an RCBD with two treatments in four blocks. We had the enhanced freshness formulation, and we had the control treatment. we had the carrier treatment as well, which contained only the carrier and not hexanal, but I'm limiting this presentation to just these two treatments. So we had about 5 trees per experimental unit and 40 trees per site. We did this experiment in 2 sites at different areas of the Niagara region. The fruit trees were sprayed about 20 and 10 days before harvest with 2% EFF solution, and once the fruits were harvested, they were stored at 2 degrees Celsius. So I've split my hypothesis into 3 research objectives. The first one, I'm going to look at physiological disorders, chilling injury disorders such as mealiness and internal browning. So for this, I took out the fruit at regular intervals and visually measured internal browning and mealiness using a scale. So this is a picture I've taken of internal browning approximately 50 days post-harvest. You can see the dramatic difference between control fruit and EFF-treated fruit. This is a graph which shows the x-axis days post-harvest. On the y-axis, you have percentage internal browning. So at 32 days post-harvest is when I first observed internal browning in these fruits. Mostly in the control, approximately 25% of the control fruit were affected by browning. And we only observed EFF-treated fruit brown only at 36 days post-harvest. So it was a 4 to 5 day lag between the incidence of browning. And apart from that, the severity of browning was also much lesser in EFF-treated fruit, approximately 30% difference at 36 days post-harvest. And it became more dramatic as we moved forward at 45 days and 55 days post-harvest, where we saw almost a 50% difference between the treatments. Moving on to mealiness. So that lack of flavor, or the water becomes bound in the fruit, there is a lack of flavor. That disorder also occurs during chilling, keeping the fruit under cold storage. And you can see the formation of thread-like structures in the control fruit. And those are the beginning appearances of mealiness in fruit. And here also you can see the differences, where EFF-treated fruit did not exhibit mealiness until we reached 45 days post-harvest. So this graph is a bit weird, because at 36 days and 45 days post-harvest, you can see that the control fruit had 60% mealiness incidence. So the reason for such a high percentage all of a sudden is because mealiness symptoms have already developed in the fruit before we can see them. So when we visually see them, it means that mealiness has already started developing 1 or 2 weeks before. And previous research has shown that. That is why when we started seeing mealiness, it was already at 60% in control fruit. So EFF-treated fruit exhibited a slight mealiness at around 45 days, but these results are dramatic in the sense that there was a significant reduction in the incidence and severity of mealiness in EFF-treated fruit. Now, moving on to the second research objective, which is to maintain the physiological properties such as firmness, color, TSS, titratable acidity. So, looking at firmness, on the x-axis again we have days post-harvest, and firmness on the y-axis in pounds pressure. We can see that the black line represents the control fruit. They start at around 14 pounds pressure and they keep reducing over time. The red line represents the EFF-treated fruit. They started around 15.5 pounds pressure. So there's a good 1.5 pound difference between the EFF-treated fruit and the control fruit. And they maintain that significantly higher difference throughout the storage measurement period. And I haven't showed the other data because there's no difference between the color, TSS, titratable acidity between the two treatments. Now, my final objective is to analyze the effect of EFF on expression of genes involved in the ripening process of nectarines using quantitative RT-PCR. So the sampling stages was, of course, the breaker stage and the S4 stages where the fruit is ripe. And we also took samples at 10, 20, and 30 days post-harvest. So although we analyzed about 20 to 25 genes, I'm actually just showing 3 genes here today, which follow the story. Mostly phospholipase D. So we found 3 phospholipase D genes to be downregulated, Alpha PLD4, we saw a downregulation at 20 days post-harvest. Zeta PLD2 at 10 days post-harvest, and gamma PLD at both 20 and 30 days post-harvest. Now, apart from this, we also saw downregulation in different other cell wall degrading enzymes, as well as N-glycoprotein group genes. So it was reflected there as well. Now, moving on to my summary and conclusion. So we know that EFF delayed the incidence of internal browning and mealiness symptoms in nectarines by a whole week. And this is just a recap of the picture. And then EFF-treated fruit maintained a significantly higher firmness than control treatments all throughout the experiment. And there were no negative effects on color, TSS, and TA, meaning that there were no differences between the treatments in these parameters. And the gene expression studies also indicated a downregulation of 3 PLD genes, 5 N-glycoprotein group genes, 2 expansin genes, and 1 arabinofuranosidase gene. All of these genes are involved in different aspects of dismantling of the cell wall, cell membrane during ripening. And some of the future steps are to detailed studies on the mechanisms of delaying the incidence and severity of internal browning and mealiness. Like, so far, research has shown that mealiness is due to an imbalance in pectin esterase and polygalacturanase ratio of the work of those enzymes. And so we need to have more studies on that aspect to see how hexanal is able to delay the internal browning and mealiness. We also, I was thinking we could do RNA-seq studies to understand the global gene expression, changes due to EFF application, followed by a functional characterization of specific genes of interest, such as PLD and N-glycoprotein group, to understand their complete roles in ripening. And finally, of course, volatile studies under cold storage conditions to get a comprehensive overview of the changes in volatile concentrations due to EFF application. I'd like to thank my supervisors, Jay and Al, and everybody else as well who helped with my master's project. Thank you very much. Any questions? Any questions?
Yeah. Did you look at if the hexanal had any, like, off-flavor? I know you didn't do, like, a sensory thing, but from your observation,
okay. Okay, so the question is, with just observation, did you find any differences in flavor? So I would say no, because we tasted the fruit. I haven't also presented that here, but we also did a volatile study. So we did not find significant differences in volatiles. The only difference we found was hexanal was able to delay the production of volatiles as it delayed the softening of the fruit. So it was kind of synchronous with the delay in softening. So there was the same delay, but not obstruction of the volatile pathway. So there was not much difference, or we could not observe any difference in flavor.
Did you find that the
Okay. We actually did not look at that parameter, but it sounds very interesting, something to look at, because we were mostly looking at nectarines used for fresh market, not the processing nectarines. So we did not look at that parameter. No, something to look at in the future. Yeah. So we harvested fruit at around when the grower harvests the fruit. So it was relative according to the grower, but then we had a pretty good sample size, around 24 fruit per treatment per day, on which we did the different analyses. So I think that would have accounted for the variability in ripening between, you know, different trees, between different fruit. Thank you. Thank you.